Beautiful every single time, that intro. Hey, everybody. Absolutely. Welcome back to the Hollow Knight Marauders podcast. I'm AJ, joined here by my bomb bad partner in crime, Jam the Jedi. Matt is not here yet. Hello. You'll probably be showing up at some point. I just realized the TV is on very loud, but maybe I'll deal with that in a second. We're joined here by our good friend Riley. How are you doing, Riley?
I'm great. How are you?
We're pretty good.
Pretty good.
After another great Bad Batch episode, I will say.
Yeah.
A little sad at the end, but happy sad. And then kind of
happy sad.
Maybe.
Cried sad, in like a sad. Happy way.
Yeah, yeah.
But like sad.
Yeah, exactly.
All of it.
By the way, your microphone does sound good.
I'm so sorry. I asked that like right when you started. No,
it's all good.
I was like, oh.
You asked, and I think I responded, and then it started with like the little like beeping immediately, and I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna have
just like
a little like bleep in the beginning. Excuse us. We're
let me deal with the TV,
checking our quickly. Logistics.
Speak
amongst ourselves. So actually today I don't know what we're talking about.
Actually today we are going to talk about porgs and porgs exclusively.
We actually are going to be talking about them at a certain point in this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll just jump right into it. There were porg noises in this episode.
Yes. Little Easter egg.
We'll get back to them.
I think you could actually see them too.
There were other kinds of birds, but we'll get into that. It was definitely the noise though.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely.
That's what was making noise in the other room, actually, AJ.
That was the porgs are squawking, so I had to tell them to settle down. So I'm back. But to kick things off, I'm going to start a new little segment, I guess, where we ask our guests a question that kind of has to do with them. And I was trying to think of one, and I was like, you know what? I have a good one that kind of pertains to the Bad Batch.
Mm-hmm.
Riley, on your podcast with Silver, Star Wars Thrifting, your little, I don't know if it's your logo, but you guys have art done.
Yeah,
seems like when each show is on. Yeah. So you mm-hmm. guys are back to your Bad Batch logo. And I noticed for season two, for last year's season and this current season, season three, Silver is Wrecker and you are Echo.
Yes.
Echo is my favorite member of the Bad Batch, but I was curious. Echo must be your favorite member of the Bad Batch as well.
Yes.
So how did that decision come about?
Even before the Bad Batch was a thing, Echo was, I think he's my favorite clone. I always go back and forth between him and Fives. But,
oh yeah.
So, like, when it came down to, oh, he's part of the Bad Batch now, it was very easy to pick a favorite, for me at least.
Mm.
I love them all, of course, but I'm just kind of like, my
this is the guy.
Well, we've been with Echo for so long at this point, and obviously we took a break with him when we thought he was dead. But he was captured, and that was horrific to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's been through a lot, and I miss Fives a lot.
I'm kind of drawn to those kind of characters that have just like been through a lot. I'm like, yeah,
the tragic
I'll
ones.
Take you. Yeah, I'll take you. Don't worry about it.
And now, I mean, I used to not like Crosshair a lot, and now I love Crosshair. He might be my second favorite, or maybe even my favorite member.
He's
of the
your favorite. Don't sugarcoat it. Like, do not like sugarcoat it.
The power rankings, like Crosshair's mm-hmm. up. We haven't seen Echo in ages. Like, I don't know. We never see him anymore.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but
he's with Bestie Rex.
Yeah.
He is with his bestie, that's true. I gotta say, mm-hmm. I was like redoing like my like setup like pre-show to try to accommodate the fact I wanted to put the pork box from Batu on the shelf. But I rearranged the way that my figures are sitting, and I didn't want to, but I took Echo. Tech and Echo off of the table, and so they're just like sitting here staring at me, and I'm like, what do you guys want? Like, what do you want from me?
Well, one of them's dead
she
and
said,
one of them's
you
not.
Guys are no.
Okay. We'll get into opinions later or facts.
Were you opening them out? Facts.
This is different from when Dodge thought Cobb Vanth was dead.
Yeah, because she was just in denial of the truth, but I know the truth.
We haven't seen Tech in a back to tank yet, so I'm not sure.
Not that we know of.
He is in a secret facility.
Just like
being waited to use as a pawn.
Potentially.
Arn's trust. Trust.
I think that's the fun thing of this season. There's a lot of speculation, but it's like, what's up with Tech? And is that creepy little assassin clone guy Tech? I know that's been the big hot topic.
Creepy little assassin clone?
I guess he's not little, but.
Why are you tossing little in there as a description?
I don't know.
I feel like he might be. I think for real, it could be. Tech is Bucky Barnes, like for
winter,
real.
Winter Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I like don't want them to do that because like we're all super familiar with that story as like super nerds, but like I am still a sucker for a story like that at the same time. So I kind of really hope that they do somehow. It'd be a very cool. Very, I don't know.
Crosshair was giving off some Winter Soldier vibes this week with his little like balaclava thing, whatever you call that.
He looked so cool.
He did. I love that outfit. It'd be a fun cosplay.
His,
that's probably the most casual he's ever been.
This is the most casual he's ever going to be.
He was probably cozy in that. It looked comfortable. Yeah.
Can I just say, I loved the look and the design, but the helmet thing just looked like a toilet bowl. Just like a toilet seat.
Yeah.
Just
like, I can see that. Just like, it was like a winter hat with the like, toilet seat around it.
With an antenna.
So,
that's like very apocalyptic. Like I needed to find something to cover my head.
it was something. I mean, I enjoyed that. I always enjoy a good outfit change. But that one, it's the toilet seat.
Before we get, obviously we're here to discuss episode 4 of season 3 of The Bad Batch. A different approach. I kept titling it a new approach. That it's not that. It's a different approach. And we're of course going to talk about that. But I do want to get to our new little thing. Or we're going to do a community question of the week. Obviously, people in the live chat will send questions as we go here. But this is the one that's been chosen for this week. It may or may not have to do with The Bad Batch, depending. So it's a bit of a tricky one. It's your favorite scene in Star Wars that doesn't have dialogue or a fight sequence. But yeah.
AJ, am I allowed to do the one that I mentioned earlier, or are you taking that one?
I mean, that's a funny one. I don't.
That's fair game for
in
you.
The 25th year of celebrating that film. I'll think of another one. I don't know if I'll choose that one. I planned all this out, and I have no idea what I'm going to say for.
Okay, so your favorite scene in Star Wars that is not a fight scene or like dialogue.
Yeah. My friend Rohan asked that one, if I'm getting specific. I don't know if he wanted me to mention his name, but there we go.
Oh, there he is.
I don't think he'd mind. but yeah.
I feel like I have several, but like one specifically comes to mind, and I promise it's not for the reason that people may think.
Okay, let's hear it.
In Revenge of the Sith, when Anakin wakes up from his nightmare.
Oh.
And it's not for the reason you think.
That's not the reason I was thinking.
Listen, but no. It's just like, you know how I said, Star Wars pain, very good. And I like all that, like the tragic, like, ooh, angsty stuff. That scene, nothing is said until later where she's like, do you have a nightmare? And he's like, yeah. But he's just kind of like panicking. And it's just kind of like, ooh, things are getting very dark very quickly. I like that scene a lot. It's very nice to me.
I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with, not for the reasons you think, but I'm going to go with Ben Solo when he's wearing no shirt. No, I'm just kidding. So we go with Anakin with no shirt to Ben Solo with no shirt.
Yeah.
No, Jamie, you probably have one. I'll take some time to think of one.
I'm curious to feel like, what is the reason that you don't want us to think you like that scene? No, I'm kidding. For me, switching gears completely, and for actually completely the reason that you think, because she's my favorite character. I love in The Force Awakens when Rey is just like eating dinner outside of her house. outside of the walker. And she's just sitting there wearing the helmet, just literally just like
simple like, times.
She's just sitting there. I love that. And so I also just like love the action, like when she hears BB-8 from afar, she gets like so spooked immediately and just like flings the helmet away.
Tell them apart.
It's good.
Or whatever she says.
Tell them apart. Well.
Now it's my turn again. I don't know if there's dialogue in this scene or if it counts as a fight sequence, but when Padme is looking out at the temple burning and Padme's Ruminations is playing, that's like an iconic Star Wars moment.
There is no dialogue in that scene.
There is fighting going on, fighting, but not with her.
But not in, not in the scene in the distance, right? So I'd be between that. I'm trying to think of a good Qui-Gon moment. Qui-Gon just like with his knee up in the poncho on Tatooine. When he's, so he's with his dialogue though. He's talking on the
when
the communicator.
When he just like pokes Jar Jar in the neck to put him to sleep in the hay blubber. Just he like that's a good
one. Yeah, that's a good one. And when and one Jamie wanted me to say was when Jar Jar steps in poop, but but then there's dialogue, right?
Look. I love how you said that, and you brought up the comment that said that Omega looking at hyperspace for the first time. Yes, that one does count. That one completely
both
counts.
Both great moments.
But what we mean by in the Phantom Menace when Jar Jar steps in the poop, actually we mean when R2 turns and veers like left to avoid it in the first place. Everyone else is doing their own business. He's just in the background and avoids it. That's Matt's favorite, okay? We'll that's this... the Holodom Marauder's favorite.
If there Matt says that later, we all win ice cream for the night.
That's the house favorite. Know.
We'll ask him when he comes back on and we'll see what he says. But if he says that, I don't know. We all, Jamie wins. So with that being said, let's move on to talk about the Bad Batch. So we'll do our opening takes of like what stuck out to us the most in this episode. Riley, as our guest, we can start with you if you'd like. What was your favorite thing from this episode?
So much happened that I loved, but my favorite thing was we've never really seen Crosshair and Omega like bonding or even interacting too much at all, except for her being like, "Hey," and he's like, "Get away from me." So I really liked this episode, how it's forced proximity for survival. It kind of got them to like work together. And when he's just kind of like, "All right, I'm going to go do this. You can go do that." And she's like, "Okay, bye." And he's like,
"So much of this
episode,
that's
not what I wanted you to say."
Literally, so much of it was just him doing like the really dramatic sighs, because like she just was like doing her own thing. And he's just like, "Oh my God, this child." And I loved every single moment of that as well.
And I really like, a lot of the times Crosshair would be the one giving the sass back, but Omega was giving it back to him in this episode. Yeah. After Omega tried to negotiate with the administrator in the spaceport, they walk away and Crosshair says something like, "Oh, that worked, huh?" And she was like, "Oh, shove it," or something like that.
Stow it.
Okay.
He's met his match.
Seriously.
Yeah, that's always been like the thing. Like Crosshair is Mr. Sass. Like even it's things that all the Crosshair stands know, but for anyone who isn't as familiar with it or like in the trenches about it, like never I guess really picked up on as much. But that's always been like his thing. And so getting to like see it point blank again and actually have someone pretty much shoving it back in his face the entire time was an absolute joy to watch.
While Crosshair is the king of Sass, I feel like, aside from obvious reasons, Crosshair and Echo would not get along because they are both so sassy. I feel like they just do this. No matter, like, now they're all probably going to be, like, happy family. Echo's going to come back and be like, "This guy." And they're just going to constantly just butt heads because they're trying to out-sass each other. I can just see it. Because Echo is Sass King squared.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
there's only room for one grumpy.
Yeah.
Grumpy man.
This is true. Have,
like, a dance off or something. I don't know.
A sass off.
Yeah. Omega can be the judge.
Yeah. She would. And she'd be like, I had to deduct points because you did whatever kind of dance move over there. And I didn't really think that that was appropriate for the situation. So
I gave Echo an extra point because I like him more.
But exactly. I don't know if she would in this situation because he wasn't with them upon the reunion. There's a lot to unpack about that. Does she like him more at this point? I don't know.
He's so never told her to go away.
That's true. That is true. Jamie, what was your big takeaway, favorite part from this episode?
The hug at the end.
The
that was my hug. Both hugs. I love.
I guess Hunter did get
them.
A hug too. I forgot about the Hunter hug.
They the even record. Zoomed in on his hand, being Excuse like, "Oh, me? Squeezy, squeezy."
How did you forget about that? So both hugs, but for me, my big takeaway primarily was the Hunter and Omega reunion hug, because he hasn't properly hugged her ever on screen. Because there's like at the end of season one, she like gives him like a hug from the side, and he's literally like, "Oh my god, this child is like touching me," and that was at the end of season one. And we haven't really had like anything since kind of the end of season two when he's like caring for her because she's like all injured, but no. And so like see like that hug again, it was just perfect. And like we did like the one rewatch of it, and I'm pretty sure I got more emotional the second time watching it than I did the first time, and probably gonna be worse the next time I watch it again, because eventually we'll know like more context of like what happens after and whatnot, and I'm just gonna about this entire show all the time.
Did Echo get a hug?
Echo got a really good hug
when he left on Coruscant that time.
He got a really good hug. That one had me bawling. Like
that was a sad one because I was like, oh, how long is Echo gonna be away? And it was only like two episodes, but
great. Now I'm thinking about that again. Time,
like these hugs made me I was like crying, not just like a tear roll. I was like
yeah,
because I was just like, oh, like I was surprised that it didn't drag out the reunion from like when they escaped to when they finally like found each other again, because last week when Silver and I were talking about it on our pod, we were like, oh, I think they're probably gonna be like several episodes of like just barely missing each other.
Just that meme of like driving by each other.
I was surprised, but like happy, but like, ow.
it makes me wonder, like, what, not to get off topic already, I know you need to give your bit too, AJ, but it makes me wonder what they have in store next, because they made them get reunited so early on. It really worries me to figure out, are they going to get separated again? Because why would they get everybody reunited so soon?
We'll put a pin in that question. That's a good question.
I can't
later.
Deal with this, guys.
One of my big takeaways from this episode was, I mean, Omega is just the best. She honestly might be like, I don't want to say she's like the best character in Star Wars, but she's like, she's so fun to watch. She's so naive, so innocent, but also so like, clever and schemey, as we see in this episode too. She's just so great. But I love her positive attitude in these dark times. Like they literally crash on this planet Lao, I think it's called, and they have like no way to get back to Tantus, and why would they even want to go back to Tantus, to Mount Tantus? And Crosshair's like, yeah, we're not going back there. And Omega's like, we have to go save all the rest of the clones. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that's, did anyone think of that, like, other than her? Like, we have to go back and save all the clones. She always wants to save everyone all the time, whether it's Batcher, Crosshair, all the clones, all these animals at the end of the episode, which could be a symbolism, maybe, for later on, of freeing the clones. I don't know.
Okay.
Foreshadowing,
I
should say. Symbolism.
I like that, too. Huh.
She's
like
so
that.
Altruistic.
Yeah, like... I wish I could be like that. Like, how old is she? 12 years old, maybe? Give
About.
Or take? 11, 12. And she's just like, I don't know. She's so positive.
It's funny that you mentioned, like, that's the first thing that she does say once they land is, oh, we have to go, we have to get the data so we can go back. When they were there, she didn't care for that at all. She just wanted to get Crosshair and herself and Batcher out. And that was it. Like, she wasn't even thinking about that. So it's funny that in the span of them falling out of hyperspace, crash landing, she's like, oh my God, we need the data so we can go back. Like, man, that's wild. That's what the priority is.
Mm-hmm. And something I thought about, one of my friends texted me something about where all the clones at. Because during, when did they start bringing the stormtroopers in? The end of season one? And then, yeah, then Palpatine middle, was like, we have the new Stormtrooper Act or whatever it's called in season two. Yep. So
the new Stormtrooper
Act. We pretty much only see Stormtroopers now, other than the like Scorch and the Commandos with Hemlock. They're kind of like the, not the Royal Guards, but his special security, it seems. Those are the only clones we really see fight like for the Empire anymore.
Yeah, so
I'm curious, like, did they wrap up all the clones and just throw them into Tantus to be like,
I'd say
on?
So. So, yeah, at the end of season two, until now, they were still using some clone troopers, I think. And then I think that Hemlock's forces at the end of season two were mostly stormtroopers. I think so. But over the course of Omega being captured, we know it's been about 6 months based on like all the tally marks. So in the span of 6 months, Palpatine's conversion to the stormtrooper program, they've just cleaned up all the clones and kind of stuffed them away somewhere. And we don't know where that is. And that's definitely whatever what Echo and Rex are doing, trying to find these guys.
Yeah, I
don't think that they're all on Tantus. I think a good majority of them. That's a lot of guys.
I have a slightly dark thought about how many clones are where.
All right.
I'm imagining the Empire, of course, taking all the clones. And this is so awful, but like the Empire is awful. But like they're at different places and different things are happening in the places, kind of like Vault-Tec and Fallout.
It sounds like Vault, yeah.
Yeah, there's like doing different kinds of experiments. Whatever they're doing, you know, which is awful. I know it's so awful, but like,
it's probably not wrong.
That's probably exactly
don't
what they're
see
doing.
Them as people. They're probably using them as lab rats.
I'd say like most likely, but also we know that what Hemlock is doing is something that's like triple, quadruple secret, because like Palpatine goes out of his way to say, hey, make sure nothing gets out here, because this is one of the most top secret projects that we are working on. But I mean, obviously, there could be a lot of unethical experiments going on within the Empire, not just Hemlock's program. So,
oh yeah,
yeah, there's a lot of spooky business going on.
Because last episode, did we find out from the clone cadets what they were doing at that facility, or did they just say no? They just left us here to die.
What they were doing, we don't know, but we do know that it was Hemlock's previous lab, and they had to nuke it because of the Slytherins got out of control, which they bioengineered there. So we know that there's definitely multiple projects going on at the same time in the same facility.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. So is it just a vault situation?
This is a vault tech situation. We have like that vault from like New Vegas where like the people like turn into like plants and then you're running.
That's the
Slytherins. Remember that one? That's those are the Slytherins, and then you're walking through and then like you activate.
I refuse to go back in there in that vault.
That's a wild one.
The scariest one. As we were speaking about it, we know that Wolf, because of the trailer, we know that Wolf is still out there doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's fighting with Rex, or we know Rex is going to recruit him at some point because he's in Rebels with Rex and Gregor. So I'm looking forward to that.
He's a little bit of a stiff at first, though, in Rebels, remember?
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just kind of how he is, also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I don't. I mean, we'll see. Hopefully, we do see like more of the clones, and maybe this ultimate. Of course, we're gonna see more of the clones, but like what they're up to. Are we gonna get this full scale rebellion that we all think has been coming for a while now, which would be amazing? But back to this episode specifically, what did you guys think of the planet Lao and like the little spaceport village area? It was very, you know, backwater.
I thought it was like. I honestly thought it was Ferrix at first. Before like it got announced like what the planet was, because it seemed like it even kind of like looked like it, and I was like looking for people who were like miners also, and then I was like this probably is not Ferrix, but that would have been very cool if it was.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been cool. Riley, what did you think of that this random setting they chose. It's always weird when they throw a new Star Wars planet upon us, but it's always exciting.
I also initially thought it was Ferrix to the point where like I paused and like I was like computer enhanced. I was like, what? I was like, is there anything in the background that would show that, oh yeah, this is Ferrix? And I'd be like, oh, like the Leo pointing meme, you know? Yep. But no. The whole like bar scene, the end of it just kind of like infuriated me. And I was just like, okay. So it's kind of like the vibe of Ferrix.
Yeah.
Because they all just suck. They all just suck. But yeah, I was just kind of like, all right, here we go.
We got to see some cool looking Imperial looks, I guess. Like the leather jackets or whatever, the jackets over the Stormtrooper armor, which was very Andor. Mm-hmm. So like very Ferrix vibes.
I'm a goggles, big fan of that.
Goggles mm-hmm. on the trooper's helmet. So that was cool.
I love the one guy in the spaceport. We'll get to him.
And of course, there's the Imperial captain, mm-hmm. who we didn't know his name. We looked it up in the credits. His name is Captain Mann, which is very...
M-A-N-N. So like M-A-N-N. The name, Mann. But
very on brand.
Captain Mann.
Huh. Yeah.
Huh.
But Jamie, we kind of skipped over the spaceport part with the administrator. What did you... you said you had a point about that.
Right now? I don't have a point about that right now. What are you talking
about?
Did
you just
say
you wanted to talk about the guy in the spaceport? Are you talking about
the Stormtrooper? Oh no, I was talking about the Stormtrooper. Oh, I mean, okay.
Wrong point.
I guess like total aside, like I love the Stormtrooper and I love how it's all this weird phase 3 armor for clones, but it's clearly the Stormtrooper armor as well. Mm-hmm. So I love how it's this weird like blend of that and easing into like the Rebels look of armor. Mm-hmm. Plus this like weird Solo and like Ferrix like vibe with the goggles and all the extra gear. It's cool to actually like see those like variants and whatnot. And I'm always a sucker for the Imperial officer green jacket look. I think that that's one of the coolest officer looks. And so mm-hmm. always excited Definitely. To see that.
It's cool to get the Andor vibes and the Solo vibes.
Yeah.
Even if you want to say like Fallen Order vibes, I guess it's all that kind of era. Mm-hmm. But it's cool to see that era mm-hmm. in different mediums, different shows. Mm-hmm. Obviously the Bad Batch right now is where it's at. But we see Omega and Crosshair go to that spaceport and they try to sweet talk the administrator. And Omega does the little like money thing. So she's scheming. Price. She's pulling out her inner Hondo, I guess you could say, or something like that. And it works to Crosshair's surprise. And then they find out they need, 30,000 credits 30,000. Altogether. Which brings them to the cantina that we briefly mentioned. And Omega's
by accident, too. They were just wandering around aimlessly. And she happened to see, like, the poker table in there.
I don't even know if she saw it. I think, she saw some guys walk out with credits. And I think she heard the music. And she was like, oh, hey, I've been to a place like this. I've been to Sid's. Wherever there's a cantina, there's gambling, it seems.
Yeah.
So they go in and it's a card game. It's not Hollow Chess as we see Omega dominate in season 2 of Bad Batch. Season 1. I can't remember when they did that. Maybe
season
both.
1. That was in season 1.
It was a while ago.
Yeah.
Man.
But yeah, we've come all this way. Omega's still gambling and she's the best at it, apparently.
You know why she's the best at it? Because there was like, because
she's
remember?
Smart.
Yeah, but I was gonna also like mention back in like season 1, you AJ, you might remember this, but there's a moment when I'm pretty sure that like Tech is like fiddling around with like the slot machines in Sid's cantina. Like I'm pretty sure he's like rigging them or something, because like he's
the battle droid slot machines.
He's like lingering at it longer than possible. So whatever Omega learned about gambling was like a combination from Sid, but also Tech teaching her how to count cards. I have to say, like that is what happened here.
I like that.
She's like, let me break down the strategy for you.
Yeah, and she's like, okay. She just absorbs everything like a sponge as well, like she always has. And so, like, I think it's so funny that they walked into this cantina, sat down at the table, she watched a good amount of like hands probably, and then was just like, all right,
I'm ready.
I'm gonna do it. And then, mm-hmm. and then she absolutely mopped the floor with this guy.
Yeah. See, everyone that complained about the Sid episodes, it all came back. There was a payoff. It's fine.
There's,
It always does.
There has been like a payoff for pretty much every like small like inconvenience or like weird thing back in season one. We got the Roland Durand payoff. We got like the payoff about like all the gambling here. We got a payoff of visiting the random moon of Ryloth in this episode.
Yeah, so, that was awesome. Yeah. Something funny I wanted to bring up was where we just left off with Jamie there, with Omega going up to gamble with the Trandoshan, I think it was. And how does she, in order to gamble, you need money to begin with.
I was thinking that too.
I don't know if like she was like, oh, please, can I have one chip so I can gamble against you? And the
Trandoshan was like, sure. Can I have one chip? I am just a small child. That's probably exactly what happened, because this guy was like, this is a kid. Like, it's, she's not going to like win. And then she does. So.
Unless they randomly found credits in this clothes and belongings they stole. I mean, maybe.
I like that theory better.
Maybe actually. There was something, or like in the seat cushions in the booth.
I like that.
Lucasfilm, we need answers.
Where did they get
the money?
Where did they get the buy-in money? I need to know.
It's very important.
I love the also mini expansive like lore that has kind of like come out like about this like card game. AJ, you wrote down what it was, but it was in the Star Wars guides that came out, the episode guides so far.
Those are really
like,
cool.
They created a brand new card game like for this. So it wasn't like Sabacc, it wasn't Bazaak. It was
Balance.
B-A-L-A-A-N-S. Balance. Yeah, so it's just another new card game, and like they said how like the entire like creative team like learned how to play it, and they were all like playing hands like instead of working on the episode.
That's I'm sure so they'll good. Have a they'll have a so, deck of cards for it at Bot 2 by the end of the year.
Probably. I am in need. The moment a deck becomes available, hit me up. I am ready.
There you go.
give me a deck of cards.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool because I was like, oh, this is not Sabacc. This is not anything we've seen. I like this very much.
Brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was cool because as I mentioned, like I feel like we always see a new Star Wars planet. And, you know, sometimes we see new Star Wars culture and everything, new foods. We do see like a new melon, I think the kid was selling. It wasn't a Meluron, it was something
else.
It kind
of looked like a Meluron, but he was calling it something else. He was calling like a chocolate.
Instead of like a cantaloupe, honestly. It was a honeydew or whatever. I don't know, like pineapple. Or pineapple would be a Naylor run probably. But yeah, it's cool to see like different games of sorts. Like we have Sabacc, Pazaak, Hollow Chess, and now we have this. I'm sure on like on Kanto Bite, there was like a million different gambling games. But
oh yeah.
The actual slots.
We see Omega kick this guy's butt until he has no money left. All is looking well. They got I think they got like over 30,000 credits. I can't remember. But they got a lot of credits, and then
if my math is right, it's like 45,000 initially.
Yeah. And then in walks Captain Man, the Sith himself, with his stormtroopers and his big jacket and all that, goes to collect money from the bar because he claims later he's the captain of this town. So it's kind of like one of those.
This guy was a good Imperial because like he did his thing. He like went around, collected his like
protection money.
That's
exactly
it. Collected his protection money. We've been watching too much Sopranos.
Racketeering.
We love that.
he's going around collecting his protection money, and then like he goes and tries further to like induce more fees in order to be like, oh, if you're gonna like be in this town, you gotta play by my rules. And like I love how Omega just does the puts her little bag out, opens it up, gives him the money. This guy was a really good Imperial though, until like the end when he does get like duped, which also I would say is like a good Imperial. Like there's like the good Imperials who are just absolute dumbos, who are just absolute stooges for the Empire, and then there's the ones that you can tell are actually like a little bit more they want more out of their career, and they are trying to like climb that ladder. This was one of those guys, but at the end of the day he still gets duped by a bunch of rebels. Like that's just how it works.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
always. I don't know about you guys, I mentioned it to Jamie the other day, but when the officer came in with the stormtroopers and everything, and everyone was just kind of looking around, it was really tense. It gave me big Inglorious Bastards vibes. Yes. I don't know if I always think of that movie for some reason whenever there's a bar scene with it's such a good scene in that movie. But I don't know, like I guess you have like a an Imperial, like a Nazi of sort, in the bar with everyone. Yeah. And it's really tense. There's gambling going on. It feels like they kind of know who each other are. Like the guy's like, oh, I've never seen you before. You're probably some, I don't know, someone we're looking for. And then they find the crashed ship eventually and report that in. But like, I couldn't tell if he was actually letting Omega go at first. Like, oh, you won fair and square. And then they hear about the crashed ship. And then he's like, oh, hey, actually, no, you're gambling. You owe me money. So like for penalty. So like, I don't know what his vibe there was. I'm sure he was just like playing along.
In my view of it, I think he originally, like initially, like did not know who they were, but he just decided he was going to use his authority to do like the power play of like, oh yeah, you can go, but first, no. Give me some money.
Yeah.
I don't think it was until after they left with Batcher that they're like, oh, these people are, I'm going to take their dog for fun.
He made Batcher leave because she was a distraction. And then they get out of the cantina after they lose. How much did they have to give back?
10,000. So like half of what they won from him.
Right. But they still had enough. Mm-hmm. And then there's the kid outside who we saw before who was staring them down. And it was really weird.
Yeah.
And then he was selling the melons outside and everything. But he saw where they took Batcher. They find out Batcher's missing. How low can you be to like, yeah, you took the credits, but like, why'd you have to take their dog? Like,
he's an Imperial. That's just what he does. I mean, don't
steal someone's dog.
So like, I think to go off of all that, I don't think that this guy, Captain Man, knew who they were at all. He was just in there asserting his authority. He gets absolutely pantsed by a child playing poker. And he's like, oh, I got to show that I still like run this town. So he hustles her back for $10,000 or however much money that actually is, right? And then they go outside and he's like, and her dog? I'm stealing her dog as well.
Yeah. Like he showed his power in a way that wasn't like combative.
Yeah.
Like in a way that wouldn't stir problems with like onlookers.
Yeah. Mm. And then like along the way to like the space war, they're probably like got the message that was just like, oh, by the way, those two people, they're fugitives. And the guy's like, ha ha, nice.
We got them.
Yeah, well, I have their dog.
Exactly. Can I also just say, I love how out of all of the members of the Bad Batch, the first one that gets called Omega's dad was Crosshair.
Yeah.
Who would have predicted? That wasn't on my bingo card.
Nope.
And Crosshair had no reaction, which I was shocked by.
None.
Like, I was shocked and wasn't shocked because obviously they were, like, playing a part. But also, he just, like, stood there like, yeah, and what about it?
there was so much like before they're in the bar and during that scene like as well of Omega just like grabbing his arm and being like, could you not, like, don't, like, I know you crave violence, but please don't do this. Like, I love every moment of that,
the whole episode when he was just like, and she was like, no. I loved the entire episode of like that back and forth, and then the eventual like, oh, we'll do things your way. And he was like, finally, God.
Finally. Oh my God.
Like letting a dog off their leash.
And then he's trying his best and he like can barely land like half his shots. And I'm like, what is this guy doing? But he's rusty. He's doing his best.
Yeah. Yeah, their back and forth was great the whole episode. And like one of my highlights that I have in my notes is just the Crosshair Omega relationship. And I mean, it makes sense. They do have this pretty good relationship with each other now because they've spent time together every day when Omega would come visit him in his cell, and probably the only person Crosshair really like communicated with for like months.
Yeah.
Other than like the lab technicians who they're probably
wouldn't communicate though. Yeah, that would just be
communication there, at least like human interactions. So like it makes sense they have this little dynamic, but it does work out so well because they are, I don't want to say they're polar opposites. They're a lot more similar than you'd think, but it's just Omega doesn't want to be violent, doesn't want to hurt anyone, which is a great little theme of this episode. And Crosshair wants to hurt everybody. So it's like they're the opposite, but kind of have the same goal. So it's a cool, funny, cute relationship that they have. And eventually, he has such a soft spot for Omega too. You can tell because he kind of lets, he's not bossing her around the spaceport. Like Omega's bossing him around the whole way with Thatcher running around the place with the Hound.
It's it's so funny how like he is like so adamant of wanting to do like his own thing, and he's like, oh, I'm just gonna do like my own thing. You go and do what you want to do, and then she goes and does what she wants to do, and he's like, I can't let her go do that by herself. I really gotta go like make sure she's okay, and he just feels so guilty immediately, and it's like, that's her brother. I just love to see it like finally.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm going to get off topic, so go ahead.
It's like really quick about like their dynamic. I've seen a lot of people being like, oh, it's because she went and saw him every day and he was like, oh, she cares about me. But I honestly think it goes back to season one when they're in a cell and she's sitting next to him and being like, whatever happens next, just know it's not your fault.
I get
like teary every time like I think about that.
Crosshair and Omega have had a connection since season one, and a lot of people forget that, but they do. She's had that connection with him since the very beginning. And he's always like harbored this like feeling of she replaced him for like everybody else. And like the guys like might feel that way like a little bit, but they also just totally don't approve of his actions, but it wasn't fully his fault. But like they do have that connection from the very beginning.
Woody.
I mean, I guess.
Pretty much.
Yeah, literally, yeah.
That's good.
I don't want to play with you anymore. But yeah, I totally just sidetracked your thought there. But no, I mean, they really do have a great relationship going back then. And the end of season one on the platform of Kamino, one last platform, like they had that last little interaction that was probably really impactful for Crosshair going into season two.
She doesn't want to give up on him, and she never did want to give up on him. She like was the one to leave that open invitation on the platform.
She doesn't give up on anybody.
No,
that's kind of, that was like my opening little thought, like she wants to save everyone that she can. Which we know where this eventually pretty much all goes, so it's pretty heartbreaking that she won't be able to save that many people at all. In terms of the clones.
Let's not think about that.
We're going to cross that bridge eventually.
No. They're all on Pabu. Trust. They're all on Pabu. Trust.
I don't think I want them to be on Pabu based on trailers, but let's...
No. It's fine. Everything's going to be fine.
I saw something really concerning in an upcoming trailer, and I don't want to talk about it yet, but...
I'm not looking at the trailer.
I don't want to look at the trailer, but then my entire timeline is talking about it. And if y'all know anything about me, one of my favorite things about the Bad Batch is the fact that the ship is named the Havoc Marauder, and just everything about their ship. I'm just very concerned. I just gotta say.
Oh.
I'm just very, very concerned, and I don't want to get into detail because
Would you rather lose a ship or the characters?
It is one of the team members, I gotta say.
Oh, are you about to have a Razor Crest situation?
I don't want to talk about it, but maybe there's a shot in the trailer that's very concerning, and we also know historically in the past that we also know AJ and I know this. I got the Razor Crest Lego the day before the Razor Crest blew up.
Yeah, that was bad timing.
But that being said, I have not bought any new Havoc Marauder merchandise recently. And I'm pretty sure I own every single one ever produced. but I have not purchased anything new recently, so I don't think it's going to be my fault if something happens. I just want that on record. But it was not my fault.
No.
That's fair.
For something that hasn't even happened yet.
I'm a witness. It was not her fault. No.
We'll see what happens.
Anyway, nothing has happened.
Yeah, I'll sign a waiver to even prove that I'm a witness to that. Yeah.
To circle back, what I was going to say that almost got us derailed, the whole ending scene of the spaceport with them sneaking around and then it ends up being just an all-out shootout reminded me of season one when they are on Seleucumi and they're sneaking around trying to just escape with Cut and Sue's family going on the shuttle and then everybody else like escaping on like the regular ship. Because that does start with like Echo and Tech like sneaking around, stealing the chain codes. And then
arguing with each other.
Always. Actually, they weren't arguing that much, but then they were arguing afterwards because they couldn't get... Anyway, we're not looking at that retroactively, but it reminded me a lot of like that episode. And then this new one, also a great episode in which Wrecker and Hunter have the civilian clothes and now Crosshair has his little civilian outfit.
Yeah. There we go.
Toilet seat helmet. I just I'm still on that. I'm sorry. I'm still on that.
So when I went to turn the TV off when we started, you guys started to talk about the porg noises. Yeah. I didn't get to hear what you guys said, but
so there's porg noises in this episode.
Yeah, it was so random.
So I love how Captain Man steals Batcher, and it just so happens to be this transport of a bunch of creatures. So many creatures, and they're in like the Batu animal crates, which is just so funny that you get it like the creature stall. Yes, I did save my box. and like it's just so wild to see all these, like, you can see like the animals like moving within the cages, but out of nowhere you just hear a porg noise. And it's the kind of thing, it's one of those, if you know what it sounds like, you know what that is immediately, and that just made my heart sing just hearing porgs.
Yes, I was really stoked because I heard the porg noise and I was like, oh, but then I remembered that they're only native to Octo.
Yeah.
So there,
and a whole bunch of, a whole bunch of other of the creatures were not native to wherever they were. Lao?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, why are they there? It's not because you confiscated all those from people. I know that's a fact.
Exotic creatures. I mean, like, I don't know what they were doing. It was some menagerie, but in the concept art that's up on the blog already, there was one bird that was called like a Lao bird, and it was like, it's pink and blue and it's very cute. That was probably what was making the porg noises, but who knows. I highly doubt there were any actual porgs. If we want to talk canon wise, there were no porgs.
I believe,
but maybe
I believe there was one.
You believe one is,
I feel like, I honestly do feel like there was, because we heard the noise. But I mean,
where were they?
What I meant by like, oh, they're native to Octo, so why is it there? I was thinking of more like, oh, they're doing very nefarious things with exotic animals from different, with different planets.
Okay, okay.
Because Palpatine's, I don't think all of those.
I need the clarity. I need... was
just like, why do they have all of these crates? Are not just like cargo; they're all animals.
Yeah,
I think it probably goes back to what you said earlier about the Empire being evil and.
Yeah.
Testing things on different things. So.
Yeah. So I do think there were actually porgs there. Yeah, I do think so.
Oh my gosh.
Hey,
this is my first Lucasfilm, if you're listening, and I know you are, card that I'm going to play this season. Were there actually porgs in those crates? Because I want to know if they're okay. That's all I want to know. If they're okay.
I think all the animals were okay.
Did they make it out? What are the other cool animals in the process of during like the escape? When I was watching it, I immediately just called them all like the Kevins from Up, because that's what they look like to me. But upon like the day that the episode has been out so far, they were actually the little tall neck creatures that were in the Abathur arc from the Clone Wars with Meeber Gascon.
Oh, the D-Squad.
The salt planet. And they're apparently Meeber like rides one like afterwards. Those are those guys, and so those are Abathur birds, big ostrich type things.
That's See, so they random. Are stealing them. They're it stealing all, them from planets.
It all comes back. So there you go. So the fact that there were those birds, which are only present on that planet, means there were porgs. We cracked.
Yes,
it.
And
cracked the code.
Possibly
doing nefarious things as always. The Empire.
Arathtar.
Yes.
Possibly.
Yes. Yes.
Easily. It had to be. Like, or some other, I don't know. It was a rat. Sorry.
I am like 99.9% sure it was. Also, that administrator is donezo, if so.
Easily. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's dead.
Later
he's
loser. Dead.
I really love, I mentioned it earlier, but I really feel like Omega freeing all the episode starts with her saying she wants to free all the clones. And then it ends with her freeing all these captive or captured animals. I feel like that's pretty intentional. And if not, it's just a big coincidence. But I feel like that's foreshadowing. I really think we know at the end of the episode, they reunite with the Bad Batch, with what's left of them. And I feel like, I don't know, I want to get into goals later for everyone, like what every character's goal is, because it's kind of interesting what they're going to want to do. But I feel like they might want to take a run back at Mount Tantus. I think Crosshair might have it in him that he does want to free all the clones, because we know he helped his guy Mayday in season two.
Yeah.
And now he's helped Omega. So like he's definitely grown. He claims he doesn't want to help anyone but himself, but I think that's a big old lie from him.
I got a few thoughts, but I'll pocket them for the time being because there's a couple more things from the episode I want to talk about before we talk about theories. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I thought was very cool was throughout the episode, Crosshair called Batcher just the Hound like two or three times until the last time when he tells Omega to get on the ship. He's like, oh, he literally says, take Batcher and get on the ship. And it's like, oh, you've come full circle as well on the dog now. This is great. This is so good. You're not just calling Omega by her name. You're calling her dog.
He's like the Grinch.
By her
name. His heart's growing.
He has the energy of like when a dad says that he doesn't want a dog. And then the whole family loves the dog. And then the dad gets the most attached to the dog.
That is him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's his best friend. He's coming full circle.
I loved every single Batcher moment, like, in this episode. Like, banging on, like, the seat in order to, like, get out. Yeah. Just being, like, so antsy, like, inside of the bar. I also love, like, in, like, the moment, like, Dee Bradley Baker, like, does the voice for Batcher as well, like, all the noises.
That's here.
So, like, yeah. So, like, imagine, oh, like, goodness. The moment of, like, Crosshair making the clicking noises and then Batcher immediately whining. Like, the fact he, like, switches between, like, all of the Bad Batch, like, so easily, like, it's just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. So he really does voice everyone in the Bad Batch still?
Yeah.
With Batcher.
Yeah. He does.
Wow. That's crazy.
He lives to make the animal noises.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get to the reunion and ultimately everyone's goals that I want to get to, Dr. Hemlock, who I think is a great villain, he sucks, but he's a great villain.
Great villain. He's so punchable. Oh my God.
His theme is very good too. Shout out to the Kiners. Mm-hmm. They're always crushing
it. Really popped off.
Oh, they, yeah, they keep
getting
better.
They always do, but like, oh. This season so far, oh man.
So good. But Hemlock has a good theme. He has a nice little spooky, evil theme. It's not quite like a Thrawn theme, but it's up there. So he shows up with his creepy little hand that he's always feeling. I don't know what's going on there.
What's going on with that hand?
He's so unnerving. Ew.
I know. I hate him. He's a Bond villain, as I always say. he really is. He's the most Bond villain Star Wars villain there's ever been, I feel.
He really, really is, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he shows up, sees that the ship is there that they stole, and they're like, oh, we can track this other ship they just got on. And I think he's talking to Scorch.
Mm-hmm. It's weird that Scorch is his, like, right-hand man. He's just always, like, with them.
Yeah. Yes. I think they're just like, oh, Republic Commando, let's do Scorch. Like,
that's he's the only one with painted armor.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't know where the rest of Delta Squad is, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But he mentions, Jamie and I just brought this up on a rewatch, but he mentions operatives that are going to help out, track down the Omega
Hemlock,
and Crosshair.
Scorch tells them they got away, and then Hemlock's like, all right, tell all of our operatives to hunt them down. And it's like, operatives? What operatives? Like, so.
It could just be Imperials, but maybe it's, maybe they've hired Cad Bane.
Yeah. Bucky Tech Barnes.
Oh,
is that one of the operatives? Like, this is why it's a good question. Who are Clone the operatives? X. Like, is it going to be like people we haven't seen before, or is it like a bunch of bounty hunters? Like, is this going to be like possibly like an introduction for like Boba to like show up? Maybe
is Bennett going to come back?
She was in the trailer, so I mean, why
but
not?
Like,
right?
Can she be our bestie? I don't want her to be our enemy.
I think that okay.
This I think is getting she'll be- it. Friends.
This is getting into territory of like predictions and stuff. But I think that Omega's gonna get separated from all of them again. And I think that Hunter and Wrecker and whoever else is with him at that point, probably just Crosshair, are going to reach out to Fennec and be like, you found her before. Can you find her again?
I like that.
All right.
Do you think it's now that I think of it, like Fennec obviously works with Boba down the line and they're kind of like partners for lack of a better term, I guess. But it's interesting, like she works with clones here, then she works with Boba there and like Boba clones, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if she like, obviously she's noticed that Boba Fett looks like the clones, I would imagine. But just a random thought that just popped in my head. Yeah, I mean, I don't know who these operatives could be. We also know Cad Bane is in the trailer. So yeah, I don't know. But I agree, Jamie. I do think Omega will probably get captured again, and it's going to stink.
It's going to be awful.
Or maybe she won't. I don't know. But I feel like she's going to eventually. But let's not talk about the sad predictions. Let's get to the reunion on the moon over moons over Ryloth. They meet up there.
Same exact shot too, when like Hera and Uncle Gobi like arrived in like their like funny little ship. Same exact view, and that was like a beautiful view the first time. And like even though it's the same shot, it looks like 10 times more gorgeous as well, just to show like how much like the team has like grown with just how everything just looks so gorgeous still. And just like, even more so now.
Oh yeah. And the reunion was brilliant. Like the way they know what they're doing when they're making this show, which huge surprise. Like showing the ship come in and just framing it so it's like just Omega's room, as we'll call it, the back of the Marauder, like the red little window. And it's like, that's perfect. And then it shows Omega looking down at the ship. And just knowing that the fans love that ship, we love that ship. And the creators know that, and they probably love the ship as well. It's become this big symbol now, like a Razor Crest or Millennium Falcon or whatever, for the Bad Batch. And seeing that alone was emotional. And then they get off, Omega comes down the ramp, and Wrecker comes down the other ramp, and we get that zoomed out shot of the two ships, and it's really dark because it's on a moon, and the two ramps are lit, and we see them like see each other. Oops, hit my microphone. And just that hug was emotional because it's just goofy Uncle Wrecker, brother Wrecker, but he gives off goofy uncle vibes.
I love how he literally like twirled her around like in the air. Like literally just doing the, oh my God, and just like spinning around with her. And like the thing with like Wrecker is like he was so worried that it wasn't even real, because there's just been like so much they've had just close calls or just like false leads for so long. And he says to her, like, I didn't think this was going to be real. And that's probably why he was the one to like come off the ship first, actually, because like Hunter like probably like triple didn't think it was real.
That, and because it's like, okay, let's get the goofy one out of the way first. I love Wrecker, but he's like the funny one. And then let's have like a really more emotional dad hug.
The dad hug.
It's weird to call him. They're all like siblings, but you know, whatever. Dad vibes.
He's her dad.
Yeah. Of all of her guardians, he is the most.
Yeah. And Echo's the mom, but he's not around right now.
Confirmed. But yeah, I love the moment of Wrecker seeing we crossed the galaxy four times over, and Hunter just says five. We did it five times.
In his gruff voice.
And I'm like,
see his legs go into the frame. Five. Oh.
Shout out to Five.
And then he's stunned that she did it herself. And he's so proud, but stunned at the same time. And it's just so perfect. And I'm surprised it happened so soon, but the fact that she did essentially do it herself, it makes total sense that it was so quick. And it also makes sense that like we didn't really see like Hunter and Wrecker just like being nervous, like sitting in the ship, because what were they gonna do? They were definitely both just like staring at the wall like that entire time. I'm not like they weren't doing anything.
We didn't get a Gonky hug though.
We will.
Pretty upset about that.
We'll get one. We'll get a Gonky hug. We'll
It'll
get a
Lula
hug. We'll get all the hugs.
Yeah.
He's resting from his tango with the vine people.
We had a really big adventure. Okay.
Gonky's big adventure. Like a golden book or something.
I need that to be a little children's book. I need it.
Please. Oh my gosh.
But then we get Crosshair coming down the ramp because they're like, wait, how'd you escape? And Omega says she had some help. And we get Crosshair coming down, and it's like, oh wait, yeah, these guys hate each other. I forgot. It's wild. As the viewer, we know Crosshair has done some good things in the past season and a half or whatever, with Mayday, a little bit with Cody, but he wasn't fully back yet. But he's had these moments, and then with Tantus with Omega. But Wrecker and Hunter don't know that. The last time they saw Crosshair was, I think, the season finale of season one, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Officially?
I don't think they've seen him since then.
Yeah.
No, they haven't seen him.
Because Crosshair was only in two episodes last season, and it was, two and a half-ish.
And he didn't see them.
We know.
Were they on Braca season one?
Yeah, that was all season one, because the way that
they burnt his head.
Head in the hole, I took my chip out, all that jazz. That was all season one. And then Crosshair was on the platform on Kamino for 32 days. And then the Empire came and picked him up.
Crosshair's really been through it all.
He has been through it.
Yeah.
He has been through it. And I think that the way that Hunter and Wrecker look at him it was rightfully from like them, because they were like, this guy justifiably is a piece of shit. And like, they were like, we don't want anything to do with him. But at the same time, like, they will make space for him again, because like, he brought back Omega in turn. Mm-hmm. And I think that moving ahead, the thing that's probably going to like seal the deal, because it's stuff that we've seen like in trailers, is the fact that like, they do care that they were waiting for him to come back in the first place, because like, they took the time to like save all of his armor.
Yeah.
And they've like literally like started selling off like their own pieces of armor. But they made sure that they saved his. So that's gonna be an emotional moment next time. I gotta say.
Yeah. Like, him putting on his old armor.
This reunion was one thing, but the fact that like, they saved his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. That is huge.
Concerning Crosshair with the rest of the Bad Batch, you know how Crosshair is just like a very blunt person. He's gonna be like, I'm gonna tell you how I feel, I don't care if it hurts your feelings. Just like, he'd be like, in the first episode of this season, he was just like, you know, if it was reversed, I would just like leave you here. The fact that when they were on the ship this episode, and she's like, well, we have to find Wrecker and Hunter. And he was just like, hey, so it's been months, so like, it might be like dead. Yeah. He didn't just like bluntly say it. He was like trying to find a way to say it. And I was like, oh, character development. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that was also like a combo of, that's maybe something he was telling himself, because he didn't want to face it himself. Because so in like his head, he kind of like wrote them all off as they're dead in his mind, just in order to like cope with it, so he doesn't have to face it again. And now he's like, I do have to face it again and actually see it.
And the one positive action, so they haven't seen him since season one, at the end of season one, the finale, but the one positive interaction they have had with Crosshair indirectly was Crosshair warning them at the end of last season that they were after Omega, I think.
Yeah.
Or he didn't, he was just warning them. I don't know if he said it was about Omega. So they at least know, like, he cares enough to do that. But still, they still are not on great terms right now. But that kind of brings me to Crosshair. And, like, what are his goals? Because he doesn't seem to care about saving the rest of the clones. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Hunter and Wrecker's goal was just to find Omega. And they did now. So where do you guys think, if we want to start with you, where do you think everyone's, after they have their reunion and get their stuff out of the way, where do you think they all kind of want to go next?
So because I feel like Wrecker and Hunter were solely, their entire goal was just to get to Omega, I'm pretty sure they didn't really have a plan after that. I feel like they might try to link back up with Rex and Echo, if not just Echo, and go from there. I know they are wanting to do more to help the clones, so I think that will eventually bring them back to trying to go back to Mount Tantus and get them out of there. Whether that's to go get the clones out of there or to go get Omega out of there if she's captured again, which would force, you know, I was talking about earlier, that forced proximity. If Omega gets captured, yet Wrecker, Hunter, and Crosshair are all alone together, and they have to really like talk stuff out. I would be excited to see that.
That would be good.
Yeah.
You know,
and,
go ahead.
What?
Go ahead. No, I'm just gonna say, if if we got this reunion this episode, and if they just yank it away in the next episode immediately,
I'm gonna be upset.
I think it'll be a little bit. I think it'll be a few episodes.
Are you sure? We didn't think the reunion was gonna be this soon.
See, someone had a good point about this, that it was soon, but we also got three episodes off the bat.
True.
So, like,
true.
If we had to wait 4 weeks for the reunion, that would have been a little longer.
True.
I kind of compared the reunion of Omega and getting back with the Bad Batch to Grogu coming back with Mando, but I think it, oddly enough, felt better in this, where like the Grogu one felt a little more rushed. One, because it wasn't even in The Mandalorian.
Yeah, one, yeah.
they're kind of comparable. So
kind of, but they shouldn't be. This is, again, apples and oranges, and comparing shows that we shouldn't need to have to compare shows to, because
with the same themes of father child dynamic kind of. Mm-hmm.
So they're
separated.
So even though probably Omega, Hunter, and Wrecker's goal of like, okay, we're gonna get back with our guy and go free our boys. Crosshair, he probably doesn't have any goals because he didn't even think he was going to see the light of day again outside of that place. Mm. So I feel like we're going to have several episodes, probably also pertaining to my theory of the forced proximity of, oh, we got to talk this out, where he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't really have the option to go off on his own to do anything else because he's safest with them because he's a fugitive.
Right.
But also, this is very out of left field, so I'm really sorry if this gets off track. In season one, where he gets his little head burned, and they're trying to reason with him, like, you have a chip in your head, and he was like, I got mine removed. But he said that he got his removed after his head was burnt already. He didn't, and this could just be me trying to crosshair. but he didn't start seeing the faults in the Empire until his head was burned and he got his chip out.
Hmm.
Then he started opening up to the idea of wait, hold on. So in my head, my theory is that the chip had worked on him, but not on the others. When his head was burnt, the chip was damaged, so they did have to take it out. And he had this kind of Stockholm syndrome of the Empire is right. I'm doing the right thing. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then when he'd start noticing things and he'd start talking to Cody and talking to everyone else, he was pause. Because after the chip got taken out is when he actually started opening up to not following orders. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That does.
Yeah. I'd say I completely agree, because everything that happens post burn, especially in season one, was him just being like, yeah, this is my path. This is what I'm supposed to be doing with the Empire. And then once the Empire abandoned him for 32 days, at that point as well, he was like, actually, you know what? there might be a problem here. And so it's been chip remove, and then from there further on. I agree.
Yeah, that's a good theory. I like that.
So it's another reason why he doesn't really know what his goal is, aside from just thinking he was going to be stuck on Mount Tantus for the rest of his life. He's kind of like, okay, the thing that made me have goals is no longer a thing. I don't know who I am as a person without this, and what am I doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, because his thing was always good soldiers follow orders, and who is his, if he's still a soldier, quote unquote, who is his army, or who is his side?
He's right. Struggling a little bit too, anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie, Matt, I see you waving at the bottom. bad timing, Matt. But I'll bring him up. But Jamie, before this guy gets going, what do you think their goals are at this point? Whether it's Crosshair, or Hunter, Wrecker, Omega.
I agree with everything Riley said about Crosshair in the first place. He's gonna have a lot of self-discovery of trying to figure out what he could even do now. I think that the other big thing with him as well is his hands keep shaking, and I don't think that he's gonna be able to ever be a steady completely steady shot again, which is his thing. And so that's going to be like another big piece of him refiguring out like who he is and like what he can do in the future. And then I just think that Hunter and Wrecker, their only goal was to find Omega and just to get her back. And they did that. So now they're just going to literally, they're just the fish in the bags in the water. Just like, now what do we do? So I guess that they'll return back with Rex and Echo, at least just to like maybe check in. And then from there, decide what's going to happen. I think that if they possibly reach out to Rex and Echo, things are probably going to go south by accident, and it'll alert the Empire to their presence. And then Omega's going to get taken again.
Yeah, all in due time, I guess.
Yeah, just all in due time, okay?
Matt has joined us. Hello, Matt. We're obviously at the end of our stream here, but we're kind of discussing what Crosshair's goal is at this point, and what do you think it will be, and what are the rest of the Bad Batch's goal?
It's a good question. I just popped in to say I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Matt, is there anything you need to get off your chest about this episode?
Great episode. I like Jurassic Park. So that was good.
You talked
about the Rathtars and the Porgs. My favorite moment in the episode was when Crosshair calls her Batcher instead of the Hound.
Yeah,
that was fun.
We talked about that. It's a good growth character arc.
And Omega is just like the perfect example of like the redemptive archetype of like just like a character that is so good that everybody around her just turns good. It's just so funny. Like there was two moments in this episode that I just like audibly laughed out loud, and it was when she was like, well, we have to go back to get the prisoners, and Crosshair just like rolls his eyes like, jeez. And then she's like, I want to free all the animals, and he's like, I had
a good foreshadowing, or it was a good parallel that she mentioned she wants to free the clones. These guys have already heard it like three times now, but at the end, she frees all the animals who are captured. So maybe that's foreshadowing or just symbolism of how she wants to free everyone.
Well, they're definitely going to free the clones from Tantus. I mean, that's probably a given. But
and then all the clones will stampede all the stormtroopers on the way out.
Oh, yeah.
I hope so.
Making porg noises.
That'd be great.
Steal their ponchos and their goggles.
There we go.
What else was I gonna say?
The last really big thing, which we didn't touch on. We touched on the Kyners once. But the other big thing is they absolutely killed it with the ending sequence, because it was the Bad Batch theme into Omega's theme into Crosshair's theme.
Spooky. Yay!
All at once.
Theme.
Like
all together again.
I was just so good. It reminded me of like in season two when Echo leaves and it's the Bad Batch theme into the clones theme, which never fails to make me sob. But like this sequence was like also just incredible. So the Kyners, again, y'all are killing it. And you know it, but I'm going to keep saying it because it's incredible. Literally.
As always.
Yeah. So we're pretty much at the end here, but I knew I'm adding a new segment in again to the show. We're kind of doing this backwards because it should have been the second to last thing we did instead of the last thing. But I want to do character of the week from each one of us. Like, who was your favorite character of the week? It could have been a Glup Shido. It could have been the smallest person. It could have been the main character of the episode, whoever you want. But we'll start with Riley. We'll go to Matt. Then we'll go to Jamie. And then I guess I'll say mine. Riley, who you got?
Crosshair.
Very good.
Obviously.
Amazing.
Everyone always got on to me for always being a Crosshair defender, because I've always been like, it's literally not his fault. I was correct. Okay. Don't look at me.
You were. I used to hate him and now I love him. So, Matt,
my
who
tortured
was your
angel.
Exactly.
Matt, my favorite character this week was definitely Captain Greasy McJerkface.
He you want his real name?
Yeah. What's his real name?
Captain Man.
Like the actual name, man. M-A-N-N. But man.
Yeah,
dude, Captain Man,
voiced by Harry Lloyd, who was Viserys in Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's
he was.
Perfect.
The gold cord on his head.
But then they dumped a Rathtar on his head.
But it sounded like he was a prominent voice, like he was somebody like that they brought in. He was great. what a perfectly slimy Imperial villain, just like no notes. That's exactly how like he's supposed to look.
He kind of reminded me of the slop mess or the slop closet guy. From season two,
they do
Riley,
a lot of like
Riley
greasy
has no idea
jerk
what we're talking
faces.
About.
You don't need to know
about it. Love closet.
The episode with the kids in the mine and the guy who ran the mine. It was that episode. I don't know.
The and
guy
he ate all the food that they had. Were supposed to give the kids.
He lives in a closet. Eat slop.
Yeah, the slop closet. Jamie, character of the week.
My character of the week, and it's not what you think, although it might be what you think, it was the fact that I noticed I zoomed in really close to the back of Hunter's head, and I saw that his headband ties differently in the back. Not only is the skull missing. Sorry, that's not a character. Character of the week for me was Omega. It has to be, because she needed to do things her way, and she managed to bring Crosshair along, and she had her little happy ending as well at the end, which was just, it was perfect. Beginning, middle, and end.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go with Batcher.
Yeah.
I wanted to say Melon Kid, but I'll go Batcher.
Melon Kid gave off big, like, do back stew kind of vibes. And I absolutely loved him.
He did.
Shout out to Melon Kid, but I'm going with Batcher. So.
Melon Kid gets honorable mention.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So there you have it, our recap of episode four. What was it called again? Different approach.
Yes.
Not a new approach.
This has been great. Thank you so much for joining us this week, Riley.
Thank you so much for having me. I always have so much fun with you guys.
Yes. You can catch Riley on a show with Silver called Into the Garbage Chute Podcast. They do awesome things, an awesome, awesome show. And thanks, Matt, for joining for the last 5 minutes here. Glad
for having me.
Glad we got in all your takes tonight.
I was rapid fire. On the drive home, I was just like, I got to talk about this.
You know, I'm impressed.
I got them all.
I'm ruining what I'm about to say, but I'm impressed. I saw Matt come on, and I was like, we're going to be here another 30 minutes. But
we got it done. You're making us here longer.
I just had to
say. It's your fault now.
I had no expectations.
It was an award.
It's your fault now. Okay. Thank you again, Riley. Thank you so much, everybody in the chat tonight. And thank you for listening to this in the audio version. If you're listening to that version, if you're watching the video version, you can take us to go in your favorite audio platform. This has been the Holonet Marauders Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time with more Bad Batch recaps. And you can catch us everywhere on social media at Holonet Marauders. We'll see you guys next time on the Holonet Marauders Podcast.